It was an exciting moment in her life. She was busily thinking about the event that was going to unfold. Lots of plans and preparations that needed to be sorted. She was reflecting on how her life was going to potentially change. Yet she had no knowledge of what was about to unfold in her life. No recognition of the surprise that was about to come. For this young lady in her teens, preparing for marriage, didn't know that she had been identified as someone who is going to be uniquely used for the glory of God. She had no idea that heaven had already written a record of what was about to take place in her life. She had no idea that suddenly there was going to be this visit and this message that would change her life forever. Yet, she was to understand it was because of God's goodness and because of God's favor that she was in this privileged and unique position. Of course, her name was Mary. And this is the story that we read in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel suddenly appeared to Mary and bestowed upon her a gift she had never asked for, as far as we know. So Mary found the angel's greeting puzzling and his presence frightening. Reading from the New Living Translation, we read these words regarding that amazing visit and how that suddenly, in a moment of time, God stepped into her life and everything changed. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." When you grasp the reality of that, for nothing is impossible with God. If there's something in your life you're seeing as an impossibility, speak those words over it. They are the words of an angel. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you've said come true." And the angel left. I wonder how you would feel if such an interruption came into your life. Unexpected, not even in a place where you would think that something supernatural would happen. Mary probably was at home, going about the ordinary things of life in preparation for this great event that, as far as she was concerned, was her marriage to her fiancé, Joseph. When suddenly her life is interrupted with a supernatural visitation of an angel. And the first lesson that we need to recognize is that there are times when God interrupts our plans and the things that we have set in place because he has a higher purpose and a greater plan for us. He has already written what he wants to accomplish in your life and in my life. And there are those times when it would diverge away from the plans that we have set in place for our own lives. It can be said the same for a church. God has plans for this church. And sometimes those plans can diverge away from the plans that we have in place. And that's why it's important we have a sense of knowing and understanding what the purpose and plans of God are. He doesn't keep his plans secret. He wants to communicate them. Now, we haven't regularly had angelic visitations. We haven't had Gabriel turn up and disclose to us what the plans of God are for either the church or for our own individual lives, although that can be a possibility. But certainly God has promised that he will give us an understanding of his ways, an understanding of his plans. But are we willing to allow those interruptions to come? Are we willing to allow the favor of God to bless us, but in receiving the favor of God, to recognize that may divert us away from what we originally intended as being the purposes for our lives? You see, when the angel came, it impacted Mary. And it impacted her not in necessarily immediately a positive way. It says that she was confused and disturbed. Sometimes when God turns up, it confuses us and disturbs us. In fact, when he speaks to us, and here the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary, and Mary says, "What on earth are you talking about? What do you mean I'm favored? What do you mean that I have been blessed? What do you mean that God has come and wanted to do something in me? I don't understand this." You know, we don't always understand sometimes why God is saying what he's saying. And it's okay to be confused. And it's okay to be disturbed by what God is about to do. That's okay. Because when we're in that place, we can then say, "God, I just don't understand this. Can you bring me greater clarity? Can you bring me greater understanding? Are there things at the moment that God has said to you that is confusing you? Are there things that are going on in your life which are disturbing you? And have you taken the opportunity to say, 'God, what on earth are you getting up to? What do you mean by that? Why are you doing it in that particular way?'" You see, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, his ways are not always our ways, and his thoughts are not always our thoughts. And sometimes we get really peeved when he doesn't do it the way we want. And when he starts to operate in the unexpected way that doesn't really fit in with our concept of who he is or what he should be doing. So Mary says, "Look, I just need to understand more." And so the angel goes on to say, "Mary, there is something that is about to take place. There's an inception that is about to unfold in your life." The word inception means a beginning. A beginning of something unique, something amazing, something miraculous. God is going to birth something in you. Never has it ever happened before. And in this case, never will it happen again. But I want us to understand that there are things that God wants to birth in us. Things that he wants to bring into being in our lives, in his plans and purposes for our destiny and for our future. To realize that God sees the potential in you and sees the opportunity for you to become someone that he can use for his honor and for his glory. And for Mary, this was to completely change her life. This was going to have such an impact and effect upon her that she would never be the same. See, when God comes and we encounter him like that, and he reveals to us some of the plans and purposes he has for us, it is transformative. It changes us. When we first came to the place where we came and discovered that Jesus wanted to be our Lord and Savior, and we received him as our friend, that changed us. You are not the same now as you were then. Indeed, every day there is a change taking place in your life, in mine. Can I say that if you're not in heaven yet, God's still got a plan for you. If you're not in heaven yet, he still has a purpose for you. If you're not in heaven yet, there is still something he wants to do in your life and through your life. And have you keyed in to what it might be? Because what Mary says is, hold on a minute, angel. Here you are saying to me that I'm about to be pregnant. Now, Kevin's just had the joy of having a new grandchild arrive. And talking to him before the service, despite all the warnings, it's become quite a shock to the new parents as to how much time and trouble a baby takes and how little sleep you end up with. Here is Mary, who's just being told, I've got great news for you. You're about to have a baby. Now, I'm not sure whether it was a bigger shock for Mary as a young teen or a bigger shock for Elizabeth as an old woman. But in both cases, they were both told, you're going to have a baby. Now, in Elizabeth's case, it was as much of a miracle as it was in Mary's case. Just to say that in Elizabeth's case, God had to turn the clock back as far as age was concerned for not only Elizabeth, but for Zechariah as well. We're told they were very old. And you get to a certain age where your capacity is not as it used to be. So God had to do something miraculous to enable them to experience the birth of what would become John the Baptist. But here was to be some different way in which God was going to operate. This was going to be a supernatural birth. There was going to be an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Because what Mary says is, hold on, angel, how can this happen? I am a virgin. How can I possibly get pregnant? And the angel says, well, this is something that God's going to do. This is going to be a supernatural moment that's going to take place in your life. I've often asked myself the question, at what moment did God implant the seed of his son into Mary's body? Was it at the moment when the angel said, this is going to be a supernatural implantation of the Son of God into your womb? Was it at that moment? Or was it at the moment where later on Mary says, let it be so? I want to say to you that there are times when God wants to birth something in us that only can be done and accomplished through supernatural means. We must never lose sight that we are a people who believe in the miraculous work of God. We must never lose sight of that God, in his favour, wants to multiply his blessing upon us. I'm always astounded by the opening verses of Genesis 1, where it speaks about confusion. It speaks about darkness. But then suddenly, there's a word that is spoken. God speaks life into being. Let there be light. And there was light. And so we see the creative power of God at work as there is light as there are seas and land and trees and birds and animals and ultimately people made in God's image. Here we discover the miraculous power of God at work through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to continue to work miraculously in your life and in my life, in the life of the church. He wants to bring into being things that as yet have not come into being. He also wants to accomplish things in your life that you cannot do in your own strength. When Mary said, how can this come about? This is humanly impossible. What the angel says is, yes, it's humanly impossible, but all things are possible as far as God is concerned. That's why I love that statement where it says, nothing is impossible with God. And if God has revealed to you something he wants to accomplish in your life, and your response to him is, that's impossible, I can't possibly do that, then let me say to you, it might seem impossible as far as humanly speaking, but it's not impossible supernaturally speaking. And so God can take hold of your life. And if I was to go back to my early teens and to imagine me publicly speaking, then I would have said, you must be off your rocker. This shy, slow, simple individual who suddenly God calls and says, I want to speak in you and through you. The Holy Spirit will come. I just want to say that that is a great promise that we can hold on to. Because the favor of God is such that he wants the Holy Spirit to come on your life. He wants the Holy Spirit to not only encompass your life, but to flow from your life. For you to know day by day the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit's ministry in you and through you, so that you might be a supernatural individual walking in a natural world. We are called to be supernatural. I was at a meeting this week with regional and national leadership, and we were sharing how that there is an expectation that's growing of something that is beginning to unfold within the life of the church, not only in the context of the Eden churches, but there is just something that people are picking up, that God is at work. And we, of course, as a denomination, we were birthed in the supernatural. There was, in those early days when Elam came into being, there was miracles taking place in almost every service. And we need to get back to understand that that was not just simply for that time. But the God of the miraculous, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, is still available today. And the favor of God is such that he wants us to experience that. And then the angel goes on to say this, because when he says the Holy Spirit will come, that's a promise that he gives. But he then goes on to say, you can depend on that promise. He says, look, I want to give you this insurance that the word of God will never fail. Do you hear that? The word of God will never fail. Have you received a word from God? If you have, it will never fail. Have you taken hold of one of the promises of God? See, I'm due to do a funeral the week after next at the Congregational Church, and this lady was in her 90s, and in meeting with the family, she had been part of the church fellowship at Rochford Congregational Church, and the family were saying how that it was her faith that sustained her. It was her faith that reflected through her life. And when I ever conduct a funeral, someone who I know is a follower of Jesus, I am able to say with absolute confidence that they are in heaven, having met with Jesus face to face. Is that based on my idea? Is that based on my thoughts? No, it's based on the promise of the Word of God. There's a verse that I just feel I need to maybe remind some of you of. It's found in Romans 8. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That's the Word of God to you. And the Word of God cannot fail. Have you ever been let down by people when they've given you their word and it's not come to pass? I'm sure we all probably have experienced that. But when it comes to God, it will not fail. And so for Mary, when the angel spoke to her and told her this was going to happen, let's recognize that she didn't suddenly expand as far as her stomach was concerned. And the baby was there, ready to be born at that moment in time. In fact, there would have been no evidence whatsoever that anything had happened. Nothing to indicate that a miracle had occurred. Because it was going to be progressive. In case you don't know this, generally speaking, it's 9 months before the birth actually takes place. So I understand on good authority from my wife. And so for Mary, here's the angel saying, this is the word of God to you. This is a supernatural event that is taking place. And for Mary, nothing other than the word she received would have been there to give her any further confidence that any change had taken place. But what we see is this, that as the angel gives us this indication, as the angel says, this is the insurance you have, she says one of several things. The first thing she says, I identify with the Lord who's spoken to me. In fact, what she says is, I am the Lord's. I wonder if that's something you can say. See, I am the Lord's is an indication of ownership. It's an indication of submission. It's a recognition of who is sovereign in her life. She needed to be in that place because there were going to be consequences of what was about to unfold supernaturally. Because ultimately, there were more than likely accusations made about what Mary had got up to. Can you imagine if a member of your family came to you and said, I want you to know that I'm pregnant, but it was a miracle and God did it. How would you respond? My suspicion is that you would respond in the same way as I suspect Mary's family responded. Don't you give me that load of rubbish. We know what you've been up to. There was a cost in what was about to happen in Mary's life. But Mary was prepared to say, I am the Lord's. Are you willing to say that? Now just be careful, because if you say, I am the Lord's, then it's saying, okay, Lord, I submit to whatever you want for me. I submit to the plans and purposes you have for me. But then she goes on to say this. She says, I am the Lord's, let it be so. If we're going to see the power of God at work in and through our lives, there must be that imperative, let there be so. Let it be so. In other words, I position myself to receive what you have said is going to happen to me, in order that you might be glorified through me. Let me say that again. I position myself in order that what you have said to me can happen through me, in order that you might be glorified through that. And when we say let it be so, it's saying I'm giving you permission to work in the way you want to. Not necessarily in the way that I want you to. I was talking to someone yesterday. In fact, this happens quite often now. People come up to me and say, we thought you were retired. And my response is, I thought I was retired as well. But you see, my understanding of what retirement looked like and God's understanding of what retirement looked like was very different. And so I have a choice. Same applies to Maureen. In fact, Maureen, I'm sure she won't mind me answering it, saying this, and if she does, she'll have to give me afterwards. But Maureen at one point said, well, I think, you know, the whole idea of leading worship and playing, I think that scene has come to an end. Well, obviously God had other ideas, and Maureen's discovering that not only is it sort of what she was not expecting, but it's ended up being more than what she was expecting. You see, when we say that we're the Lord's, and we are willing to say, let it be so, then we need to be ready for God to do what he wants to do, and it might not fit in with what we want. But what Mary goes on to say is this, look, I want to experience the favour of God in my life. I want to experience his blessing in my life. I want to experience all that he has planned and purposed for me. I want to fulfil the full potential of all that is within me. And I'm willing to allow God to do whatever God wants to do in order that may come about. In many ways, we've talked about how that we are in a new season, as far as the church is concerned. We could also simply say this, that there's something new being birthed. And sometimes, as I've already said, when something new is being birthed, we don't always see it. What we have to do is depend upon the God who's a God who pours out his favour upon us. Who says, I've got a destiny and a purpose and a plan for the future. And at the moment, it might not be that you can see much change taking place. But there is something that is unfolding, something that is developing, something that is growing, something that is maturing, something that is expanding, something that is coming into being through a supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit's ministry and power that will be miraculous in its outcome and will bring honour and glory to the one who speaks favour into our lives, releases us into our destiny, and says that you are valued, you are precious, and he has chosen you for his purposes and plans. As we respond, let it be so according to your word. God bless you.